All right, today you can turn to Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, and before we get started, I do want to point out for those and ask you to give really a round of applause of appreciation in just a second for the group of men who took really a day's labor yesterday out in the heat and the sun to install, to really put together every piece and to install the new awnings. Some of you, if you're new with us, you won't appreciate those yet, but you will when it rains because you'll be able to actually take your umbrella down without getting wet and water won't get into the building. And so that was led by Daniel Peterson. We had Mitchell Simmons. We had Tim Mitchell. My son Tristan, we had Ken Barrett, we had Wayne Harris, and was there anybody else that I'm forgetting? I believe that was everybody, and so if y'all would, give them a round of applause of appreciation and thanksgiving, because not only did that help us out, but it also saved us a lot of money in our renovations, and so we are grateful to them for that. And so if you see them, thank them, give them a social distance wave or fist bump, and to let them know how much you appreciate them. And the next time it's raining on Sunday and you enjoy it, then tell them again. So, well, this morning, it is obvious that we all have a story. We all have a story. And I'm looking forward to, in this series, hopefully hearing from several different people on their story. Next week, I'm telling you, be here. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great story. You do not want to miss it. If you were here last year for any of this series, you know that some of the stories that we heard can be more powerful than just another sermon. In fact, they are sermons in and of themselves. And so Anthony and Ashley will be sharing with us, and many of you have gotten to know them, and if you haven't, you'll get to know them next week, and you'll get to hear from them. And so don't miss it. I'm telling you, it's a great, great story. Invite someone to join you. Invite, share online. It's going to be a phenomenal story. But we all have a story. You have a story. In fact, some of you may be very proud of the story that you've written with your life so far. But others of you might be more ashamed and embarrassed by the story that your life has written up to this point in your life. Typically, those people who are silent about their story, or they don't share it, they're more quiet about it. Typically, it's because they have a fear of being exposed, maybe of some past behaviors or some things that they've done that people would frown upon or look poorly on. Or for some, it may be that they're embarrassed and they're full of shame by what was done to them by someone else. And so we all have an enemy. Our enemy, the devil, will do what he can to convince you to stay silent about your story. See, because he knows that your story, when shared properly, is powerful. Now, God, as we know through Scripture, does not give us a spirit of fear, but our enemy does. He uses a spirit of fear, and he will lie to you to try to convince you to keep your story silent. Why? Because it, told in the proper context and in the right way, is powerful. That's what I want you to write down today that will kind of guide us. And it will, you will see this come out of some of the stories in this series, is this: my life story is a bridge to the good news or the gospel of Jesus. My life story is a bridge to the good news of Jesus. Now, the reality is your life story is actually powerless to change anyone. Your story is not going to change anyone. My story is not going to change anyone. But it is powerful, and it's a powerful tool to point people to the very person who can ultimately change their life. Your story in and of itself can't do anything. But until you know how sick someone is or was, you won't understand how miraculous their healing was. Well, we hear stories all the time of people who were maybe on their deathbed, or they've been given a very dire outcome or result of a health situation, and see God turn that around, and maybe he uses surgery, or maybe he uses medicine, or maybe he just miraculously touches them and heals them. We hear of that, and the reason that has power is because we knew how sick they were. Or you don't know how broken something was until you know how broken something was. You don't know how transformative the restoration and the transformation is. You might see maybe a classic car and see how pretty painted it is and see how well it runs. But did you see it when it was in a scrapyard and it was rusted and it was gutted out? See, until you know that side of the vehicle, you don't know how miraculous and how transformative its restoration was. And until you know how depraved someone was in their life, how evil maybe they were, just how wicked they were, just how foolish they were, you won't understand or comprehend just how alive they are now, just how new they are now. And so we share our past so people will see the power of the gospel that has made us new, that has transformed us. That's why we're not silent about our past. We don't glory in it. We don't find joy in it. It's not for our fame or for highlighting ourselves, but we aren't ashamed of it and we don't hide it. Why? Because until people know our past, they don't know the power of the gospel that has changed us and made us new and has given us life. That's why in Revelation 12, we see that the scripture tells us that the Christians, our brothers and sisters, had overcome the evil one, the accuser of the brethren, our enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the shed blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. See, your story, your testimony told in the right context is powerful. It not only can help you overcome the evil one, your enemy, the devil, but it can also help other people overcome the devil and our enemy and the accuser of the brethren as well. See, you can't accuse someone who's been made new. You can't accuse someone who's been forgiven. You can't accuse someone who's, especially in a court of law, it's called double jeopardy. When that penalty has been paid, you can't accuse them anymore. But what will happen is when we keep our story silent, you open the door for the enemy to come in and to essentially render you powerless. But when you make it known, there's no more accusation because you're not using it for yourself anymore. You're not using it for to shape how people see you and how they look at you. Now you're using it for a new purpose and for a new reason, and we'll look at that today. Galatians chapter 1, you can look at verses 11 through 14. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, it tells us this: "For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors." And so here Paul writes to the Galatians that this gospel that he now is preaching didn't come from anyone else. It wasn't given to him. It wasn't taught to him by any other person, any other human, but instead it was given to him solely by a revelation of Jesus Christ. We can see this in Acts chapter 9. If you look at the story, even in Acts chapter 8, you see that as they stoned Stephen, he was one of the first martyrs. And as Stephen is dying, as they're stoning him, they said that there was a man named Saul who was standing there in approval, holding the coats of those who were stoning him, who were killing him, who were murdering him. He's just as guilty. He didn't do anything to stop it. He didn't do anything to prevent it. He stood by in approval. Then you see in Acts chapter 9 where he has gotten permission to go and to persecute the church, to destroy it, to arrest even women and children, men, to attack the church. He was a spiritual terrorist. We see this in his story. And here he tells us, "For you have heard about my former way of life." You know my history. You know my story. It's not hidden. You know of my former way of life. Can anyone say amen right there? Amen. Is your story well known? Do many people know your history? that they know the past. They know exactly what you've done, who you were, how you behaved. For some, maybe that's all they know of you. For some, maybe that's the only story they know of you. Why? Because you stay silent about your story. You don't share about your story. So they're stuck in the past about what they knew about you. Well, here, Paul's not hiding it. He's saying, you know my former way of life. You know my history. Luke 15, chapter 1 in the New Living Translation tells us this: tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. When Jesus taught, the well-known notorious sinners would come to listen to him, to hear him teach. Some of you are the notorious sinners. Some of you in your town where you grew up, you were the notorious, well-known sinner. People know your story. They know your past. For your town, for your community, for your family, for your friends, you are or you were that notorious sinner. That's who Jesus attracted. That's who people came, that's who came to hear him teach. And you might be ashamed to talk about your past, but the reality is even if you're ashamed, and even if you fear that, there are plenty of other people who are more than willing to talk about you to other people in their own way. It would benefit you if you weren't silent about your story, because you can tell it in the right context and you can put it in the right and proper perspective. And that's what we're seeing here today. So some of you are the notorious sinners. Some of you are the ones who sit back silently in shame and in embarrassment. Paul also had that notorious past. He was that spiritual, that persecutor, that terrorist against the Christian church. He's saying, look, let's not hide it. You know my former way of life. You know my story. You know my history. And once again, verse 13, the second part of that, and 14. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. So after becoming a Christian, you would think he'd be embarrassed about sharing this, but instead he uses this to connect with and to leverage with the Galatians. He's not hiding his story. He's beyond this. He's now planting churches. He's now on missionary journeys. He's now preaching the gospel, and yet he uses it as a means to be a bridge to the gospel. He doesn't stay silent in shame. He uses his story not to glory in it, not to brag about his advancements and all that he did, but to reveal the power of the God-given gospel of Jesus Christ, the very good news that changed him and transformed him. He uses his story as a bridge to that good news, to the gospel. Look at verse 15 and the first part of 16. But when God, who from my mother's womb, so you know my history, you know my past, here's my past, I persecuted the church, I tried to destroy it, this is who I was, this is my former way, my former life. Some of you knew it, some of you heard about it, and now some of you are hearing about it today. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I could preach him among the Gentiles. But when God, you know my past, you know my history, but when God changes everything. See, that's powerful. It no longer mattered that I had persecuted Christians. It no longer mattered that I had locked them up and tried to kill them. It no longer mattered that I tried to destroy God's church. It no longer mattered that I had rejected Jesus Christ for religion. That's my former way of life. That's my past. But when God, that changed everything. God changed everything about Paul's life. When God was pleased to reveal his son in me, my story changed forever, is what Paul's saying. But when God called out to me, when he was pleased to reveal to me, it's interesting here, and we won't get into this theology, but he says here that, but when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace. He was already set apart. He was already called by God's grace from the womb, but yet God had not yet revealed the Son of God to him yet. And so you could be out there living a wild life. You could be out there living in sin. You could be out there doing what you want. But when God reveals to you the Son, Jesus, when he reveals to you the good news of the gospel, it'll change everything. It'll transform you from what your former life was. No longer did I persecute Jesus and his followers. No longer did I try to destroy the church. That's no longer my story. He's saying, I have a new story. I now preach to the Gentiles the very gospel that I had rejected. I'm now called by the very Jesus I persecuted. I now belong to the family that I tried to imprison. I'm now a member of the church that I tried to destroy. But when God, it changed everything. It transformed everything. And for some of you, you kind of play church, but you haven't had that but when God moment. You're maybe playing with religion, and so you kind of put your toes in it, and so you haven't really had that transformation yet. And so it's not like, hey, here's where I was, but this is where I still struggle, or this is what I still do. And yet we see with Paul that the very things that he had set his life against, it had now completely transformed him because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of the good news, because God was pleased to call him by his grace, not because he did anything to change his story, not because of anything he had done, not because of his effort, not because of any works on his behalf, but because of the good news of Jesus. That's why your story is powerless by itself, but when it points to the very person who can transform someone's life, it is powerful. It is transformative. Paul's story wasn't about him. It was that bridge to the good news. He shared the shameful, wicked, and embarrassing parts of his story only to illuminate the glorious power of the saving work of Jesus on his behalf. That was the whole point of his story. Because it did nothing just to tell his story. What did it change just to tell people how wicked he was? It's not going to change anyone to tell people that you were a former thief or a former addict or a former adulterer or formerly hateful and racist and bigoted and all of those things. What does that do? It doesn't do anything to transform lives. It doesn't do anything to help anyone. But it was the fact that he used that wickedness. He used that past to point people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to point people to the power of the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the second part of 16. He says, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. You can write this down. I don't need anyone's permission to begin a new story. I don't need anyone's permission to begin a new story. You don't need anyone's permission to begin your new story. You don't need to come and ask my permission. Hey, can I go tell people my story? Can I go tell people about Jesus? Paul didn't do that. He didn't immediately seek out a small group leader. He didn't seek out the leaders in Jerusalem. He didn't go seek a conference with the other apostles who God had appointed and called. He didn't do that. The Bible says, I immediately went to Arabia and then back to Damascus. He immediately went out and started sharing the gospel. He immediately went out and started sharing his story with other people. Then later he came back to Jerusalem and to connect with them, but not to ask for permission. You don't need anyone's permission. He said, I didn't consult with anyone. I didn't seek permission or approval. I just went. You don't need anyone's approval to write a new story for the good news of Jesus. You've already got God's approval, and that's all that you need. And so, are you telling your story? Are you sharing not only what your past was like, not to glory in it, and not that everybody needs every specific detail, but this was who I was. This is what I did. But when God, it all changed. It all transformed. It all became new. Galatians chapter 1, verse 22 through 24 tells us, I remain personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. They simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Write this down. My life story is intended for God's glory. My life story is intended for God's glory. It's not intended for our glory. It's not intended for us to look good. It's not even intended to make you look bad. We're all depraved. We're all wicked. We're all evil, maybe on different levels. Maybe it looks different. Maybe we've participated in different sins and gone different ways, but we're all sinners in the eyes of God. We're all fallen. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter in what way. What matters is what we've allowed God to do in that and with our life. And here he tells us that he didn't go to the Judean churches, that he remained personally unknown to them, but they kept hearing, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy." Paul didn't set out on a scroll signing tour. Like, oh, here's my life memoir, and here's my book, and I'm going to be at the next, Galilean and Nobles or whatever, and I'm going to be signing that so that I can become famous and I can build my platform and I can be something great. He didn't do that. He didn't go fulfill his own agenda. He could have went and done whatever he wanted to do. He could have went and followed his own way of life. He was a very wise man. He was very zealous. He could have done whatever he wanted. He was notorious. He was well known. He could have been something great for his own kingdom and for his own glory. But instead, he answered God's call to go preach the good news to the Gentiles. In fact, Jesus told him in Acts chapter 9, if you want something bonus to read and study this week, Jesus tells Ananias when he sends Ananias to him, "Go to him, for I'm going to reveal to him, I'm going to show him just how much he must suffer for my sake." To follow Jesus, it would require Paul to suffer. This was not about his glory. This was not about his fame. This was not about his platform. This wasn't about his wealth. This wasn't anything good for him. It was all that his story now was intended for God's glory. And so is yours. Paul once again became notorious, but it was for something better. It was for something more glorious. It was for the kingdom of God. Once again, they kept hearing, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God because of me. It no longer mattered what he did in his past. It only mattered what God was doing in his present. It only mattered how God was transforming him, how he was reforming him, how he was changing him, how he was making him new. What mattered was what he was doing in the moment, what he was doing with his life now. Sure, you know my former way of life. Sure, you know that I tried to destroy the church and I persecuted Christians and I did all of these evil things. But yet, look at me now. Yet, look what God has done with me now. Look what he has done in my life now. Look what he has done in my family now. Look how he has changed me. Look how he has transformed me. See, but people don't see the power of the gospel unless they knew how he formerly was. The things that he had done, the things he was guilty of. It's knowing how broken he was. It's knowing how depraved that he was that then we see the power of the gospel to transform and to change him. So we must not be silent about our story because our story is intended for God's glory, no matter how good or how bad. No matter how proud you are of your story or how ashamed you are of your story, it's not for your glory. It will never be for your glory. It's always intended for the glory of God. See, I want some people to share their story of how they weren't addicted to drugs, how they didn't stray. And many people, often you will hear, if you grew up in church and you've really not had a wild lifestyle, "Well, I don't really have a story." You absolutely have a story. You have a story of the faithfulness of God to sustain you and to be faithful to his promises when you live according to his word and when you give your life to him. It's not for your glory. To say, "I don't have a story," puts the glory on you. But to say God has sustained me and he has held me and he has remained true to me. Or maybe you did grow up in church and you strayed and it was just a little bit, but you came back to say that, "Well, I don't really have much of a story." That's not really much to tell. Once again, you're giving glory to yourself rather than to the faithful God that even when you walk away and even when you stray, he welcomes you back home. and he forgives you, and he doesn't cast you aside, and he doesn't destroy you. But yet he is faithful to his word, and he's faithful to his promises. Your story is always intended to be a bridge to the good news of Jesus, not to yourself, not to what you did, not to what counseling did for you, not what to recovery did for you, not for any of those things. It's a bridge to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the gospel that saves, is the gospel that transforms, is the gospel that saves. And it's also so that other people will glorify God through your story, through your life. You can write these down. Some of these might have they might agree with one another, and you might think I'm just repeating myself, but we say these often, and I just want you to walk away with them. I want you to remember them. The first one is this: your past should not paralyze you. Your past should not paralyze you. It shouldn't keep you paralyzed from sharing what God's done in your life. It shouldn't paralyze you from sharing with people who you were and what you've done. It shouldn't keep you from fulfilling the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. Your past should not paralyze you, because you are not your past. That is the other one. Your past does not disqualify you. You might think you're disqualified from God using you, from God working in you, from God using you for something greater than your life used to be used for. You're not disqualified. We see this with Paul, one of the greatest Christians and church planters and pastors in the Bible, one of the greatest apostles who wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a spiritual terrorist. He tried to destroy the very church that now he's telling us about. That didn't disqualify him. Your past does not disqualify you. Your past does not define you. You're not your past. You might say, well, I did this and I did this, and you carry those labels of being unfaithful, of being an addict, of being all those things. We could just go down the list and put label after label after label. You carry those labels. You know those labels. Those labels are cast against you. Your enemy throws those labels at you. But the Bible tells us that we are holy, that we are forgiven, that we are blameless, that we are adopted, that we are son, that we are daughter, that we are no longer our former selves. You know my former way of life. But when God, it all changed, it all transformed, your past does not define you. You are made new in Christ Jesus. There's no longer condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. You're not condemned. You're not paralyzed. You're not disqualified. You're not defined by your past. Your failure is not final. Like where you failed, like God's purpose for you did not end. In fact, for some, maybe it just began. Your failure is not final. And the final thing you write down is your failure is not fatal. Yeah, some people make poor decisions and it is fatal. But if you're still here, God's got a purpose for you. If you're still alive, God's not done with you. If you've got oxygen in your lungs, if you have life, then God has a plan for you. Your failure is not final. Your story is intended for God's glory. Your story is intended to be a bridge to the gospel, because it's not about you and it's not about what you've done, but it's about what God has done in you, and it's about what God is now wanting to do through you. Your life story is intended for God's glory. See, today we can praise God and we can worship Him because we serve a God who specializes in new beginnings. We serve a God who specializes in resurrections. He takes that which was dead and He makes it alive again. He takes that which was broken and He restores it to new again. He doesn't just take your shattered pieces and put you back together where you're still broken. He makes you brand new. You're no longer your former self. You're no longer dead, but you are made new in Christ Jesus. He wants to take you wherever you're at, your brokenness, and He wants to make you brand new. Not a new version of your old self, but brand new, a new creation. No matter how shameful or embarrassing or evil your story has been up to this point, God wants to reveal His Son through your story. If God has already called you and made you new, it's time to stop allowing your past to paralyze you, to disqualify you, to define you. It's time that you make a commitment to use your story, not only as a bridge to the gospel, but for the glory of God and Jesus Christ. It's time to tell how sick and broken and dead you were in your sin and trespasses, so you can illuminate the power of God's forgiveness and His mercy and His love and His grace. It's time to start being vocal about your story, not silent. What is your but when God story? What is it? What's your story? What's your story of this was my former life, but when God? Our commitment today, the thing I'm going to encourage you in this moment is, first and foremost, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, in this moment, if you believe the Bible says that Christ went to the cross, that He died on the cross for your sins, to shed His blood on the cross to serve as payment for your sins, so that your sins could be washed as white as snow, so that you could be forgiven. If you believe that, and you believe He was buried and He rose to new life so that you could have new life, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and made brand new." And in this moment today, you can begin a brand new story. God wants to write a new story with your life. And so right where you sit, I'm going to encourage you, if that's you, to have a conversation with God. Confess your sins. Confess your past and how much you need Him right now in your present. Confess your sins to Him. Ask Him to save you. Confess your need for Him right where you're at. And if you do so, you can fill out a Connect card. You can let us know so we can help you take your next steps. You can, if you're online, you can go to newpassion.family, and there's a link there that you can select that says, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And you can let us know so we can walk with you, because we don't want your story to end right here. And we don't want you to be clueless about how to continue on writing that part of your story, the new part. And so as I pray, that might be your next step. That might be the commitment you need to make. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, I'm going to ask you in this moment to make a commitment to God, not to Nick, not to the church, not to your spouse, not to your friend, not to your sibling, not to anybody you're here with, but between you and God. God, I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to use my story, my past, to be a bridge to the gospel and to be a bridge for the glory of God, so that others will glorify you because of what you've done in and through me. Don't commit that to me. Don't commit that to anyone else. But in this moment, I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment to God. God, I'm going to use my story for your glory. God, I'm going to tell of, you know, my former way of life, but when God. I'm going to be vocal about that. I'm going to make a commitment today to tell that story. And so that's my challenge to you. So let's pray and have that conversation with God, whatever that might be. God, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you that if we're here today and we belong to you, we have a but when God story. We have a story to tell, because we were all broken. We were all sinners. We were all dead in our sins and in our trespasses. But then you came and you were pleased to introduce to us your Son Jesus. And so, God, I thank you for that. God, I pray in this moment that if there's someone here or someone online who they're in that moment right now, they're trapped in their sins, they're bound by their past, but God, you're calling to them. You're revealing your Son, Jesus, to them. I pray in this moment that they would call out to you, that they would repent of their sins, and that they would ask you to save them. They would trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross to redeem them, and that today they would be made new. Today would be the day of their salvation. Today they would have a new beginning and a new story beginning. And so, God, I pray for them. Move in their hearts. May your Spirit speak to them and draw them to yourself. And may they listen. Give them the ears to hear, the heart to understand. But God, for the rest of us, I pray in this moment that we make a commitment That no matter how embarrassing or shameful our story might be, no matter how much we want to hide it and we want to run from it, that we would see that people need to know how broken we were in order to see the glorious power of the gospel that has made us new, that has transformed us, and that has changed us. So in this moment, anyone that's not made that commitment, I pray that you would impress upon their heart, that you would draw them to yourself and give them the strength to overcome that fear, to overcome that shame, and to make that commitment. That whenever given the opportunity, I'm going to share my story for the glory of God and for the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.